Welcome to Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. This is our 2026 summer movie preview. And we're going to take you through each and every month, May through August, because, of course, May is when summer starts now. Thanks a lot, Marvel. And we're going to discuss every major theatrical and some streaming releases along the way, as well as some indies to keep your eye out on. Get ready to make plans, because it is now time for our 2026 summer movie preview. Let's get on with the show. Aaron Peterson, joining me today are my fellow host, Troy Heinrichs.
I out for. What phrases are we? Is this English?
What did I say?
You said I out on.
I out on.
Yeah. Yes. Keep your eye out for.
Keep your eye out for. There you go.
You know what? I don't think anybody really needs your attitude. That's what I think.
I'm full of attitude. Summer's here.
It is, even though I'm sure some people listening going, what are you talking about, man? It's still April. When this is recording, it might be May when you listen. It might be August. I don't know when you're going to listen.
It's 72 in April, so it's fine.
We'll take it. And Amanda Sink?
Hello, hello.
Hey, how's everybody doing? This is summer movie preview. And by the way, the summer schedule is available on this post at the episode, thehollywoodoutsider.com. That's all I got to say about that. What's new with you guys? Are you ready for summer yet?
I am. I've been looking forward to something at the theater. For a while. I mean, Michael's coming out, obviously.
It's already out when you hear this.
That's true.
It's bad, according to reviews.
I heard it was supposed to be really good.
Nope. All reviews, I mean, it's like 30% last time I checked before, we're recording before it's released. So maybe it perks up on the tomato meter from audiences. But man, the critics are not loving it.
Maybe they're just biased. They just want to tank it because it's Michael.
Maybe, but you're already dating the podcast by even talking about it.
I know. I'm just saying, like, April was kind of lackluster. Once Project Hail Mary was here and gone, it was like, there was not much to see.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's been pretty light, unless you're a Mario Brothers fan, which I'm not.
It was okay.
Your question about the summer.
Yeah, that would be nice. Right, Amanda? If, like, we would talk about things that made it seem like we're not recording this 6 months ago, that would be good.
I was just going to say, I live in Texas, so I'm not excited at all for summer. Keep me in winter months, honestly.
What is that like
here?
What's a Texas? What's a Texas summer like? Well, terrible is what?
Like the Michael movie, apparently.
Terrible is,
I swear to God,
3-digit numbers, sun that penetrates every fiber of your being.
Speaking of Michael,
humidity that blows your hair up like you're living in Florida, just a little bit less bad. I was trying to think of a positive.
Can you shave your head?
There's a pool. And when you swim, it feels less bad.
But the pool's like 90 degrees too, because it's been sitting out in the sun all day.
But it feels good. It doesn't feel hot because it's so hot outside.
I have heard that there is a temperature a pool gets to where you just like, no, this is boiling.
I mean, hot tubs are like 104, right?
But you welcome that when it's 35 degrees in the air.
Exactly.
And there are people that go to hot tubs. I just went on a really, really small cruise and it was hot. And people were in the hot tub. It was hot in the hot tub.
No,
people
were. Can't be me.
They were
actually have gotten physically ill from being in a hot tub because it was too hot.
If I get too hot, I actually have not that anybody cares about this, but I have a natural health problem when I get too overheated. Yeah. I can get sick. I can actually get ill.
I've been wheelchaired out of Universal because of my heat stroke. It was embarrassing. At least I got through the day. It was nighttime by the time they wheeled me out, and it was still that hot.
Speaking of, okay, this is a total side tangent. Has nothing to do with movies or anything else, and it's definitely current because it has to do with summer. So while I'm on this excursion, right, there are a couple. I was with Brian Williams, former Ho, and Tyler Siever, friend of the show, and I'm a pale rider, right? I'm actually allergic to the sun. It sucks. It's not a cool thing. Every time you're pale and you go out to somewhere sunny, someone inevitably says the thing, because Brian and I were having a nice little chuckle about this. They always say, oh, you just need to get some sun. No, bitches, we can't. We just
That's the
can't.
Opposite of what our skin is looking for.
Yes, exactly. It's like the reason why I'm wearing a swim shirt and a hat is because I can actually probably boil. I'll look like whatever that big dude was in Blade that got vaporized. That's what I'm going to look like. Jabba the Hutt with blisters. No thanks.
Ew. So unsexy.
So next time you see a fellow Pale Rider, don't tell them to get more sun. They'd love to. They'd love to. There's nothing more that they would like than to get some sun. They just can't. Respect them this summer, okay? Be grateful you can tan if you can.
I love this message. And also, Il Maquillage has a decent fake tanner spray thing, like foam thing you can put on. And that's how I fool people into thinking that I'm not as Caspery as I really am. Because I'm still white. I'm still pale. But a little
it's a real
Casper.
Chemicals don't kill you from the sun. The fake ones definitely will.
Thank goodness.
Oh my God.
If I could get a tan by sitting out in the sun, I probably would. But to Aaron's point, my skin just goes red, ouchy, back to white. We don't ever go into the tan territory.
I blister.
The olive territory.
It's I literally
red and white.
Blister. I'm allergic to the sun. It's a weird allergy. It's the only thing I'm allergic to. Couldn't be something cool like pickles, right? Because I could do without those. But no, it's got to be the sun.
Why are you hating on pickles?
I'm not hating on them. I'm just saying, like, I could go without a pickle. I it's hard to avoid the sun and not be seen as a fellow daywalker, you know?
I suppose.
And I don't look
well,
as cool.
Well, I'm sure every listener was so excited to hear about our skincare problems. Well, but if you're a dermatologist, feel free to reach out.
Last time we had to hear about Troy's fatty liver, so now we're hearing about my dermatitis, I guess.
I don't have the sun problem. I have the farmer tan problem where I'm now like permanently wearing a cycling shirt.
Oh, it's so sad he can tan. Yeah,
this is where nobody pale gives a shit. We're getting here near. Oh, man, I got a little sunburn on my arm when I left it on the window, but now it's brown. I don't know what to do. Yeah, my arm blew up. I'm just saying.
You did need that arm anyway.
Apparently not. I now have
wrong
one
audience for a woe is me moment. I'm being tan.
I'm telling
Troy.
You.
He's like, my tan isn't smooth and even.
It's not. It looks like I'm permanently wearing a shirt.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, we're going to get started with these movies that are coming out this summer. I think it's pretty solid summer, so I'm looking forward to this one. But you guys want to know what's coming out, and we're going to read through what's coming out, and then kind of each week we'll take a little break and tell you what we're excited about or what we absolutely just don't care about. So if there's another Mario movie, I'm just letting you know, not going to care.
There's enough cartoons, though, so half the summer gone for you.
Got a question about that when we get to it, because you've got a thing with Pixar, and I want to see if your thing holds here. But we'll wait, because we're going to start with May. You guys ready?
Sounds good.
Yeah, that was a taunting.
I'm super excited to start my summer early.
Okay, we're going to start with May 1st. So on Netflix, there's a movie called Swapped, speaking of, I don't know what I'm saying anymore. It's been a long day. I'm speaking of animated movies. When two natural sworn enemies of the valley, a small woodland creature and a majestic bird, magically trade places, they must set off on an adventure of a lifetime to save their home. And that's from John Lasseter for Netflix, and also features the voices of Michael B. Jordan, Juno Temple, and Cedric the Entertainer. All right, so there's one. Then we've got another animated movie, Animal Farm, which is directed by Andy Serkis. And these are both rated PG, by the way. So the edgy cartoons, right? A allegory of revolution and power, Animal Farm is based on Orwell's novella, and it traces how a movement for equality is systematically corrupted. As the pigs consolidate control, truth is erased, dissent is crushed, and the farm descends into a ruthless dictatorship, fulfilling Orwell's warning about the dangers of communism. What a fun family film. Voiced by Jim Parsons, Steve Buscemi, Seth Rogen, Woody Harrelson, and a whole lot more. Gaten Matarazzo's in here as well, and of course, Andy Serkis. Then we have Deepwater. May 1st got a lot. With Ben Kingsley and Aaron Eckhart, and is directed by Rennie Harlan, who also, you know, might have done another shark movie that you might remember. A group of passengers flying from Los Angeles to Shanghai must make an emergency landing in waters filled with sharks. They have to cooperate to survive as sharks gather around the crash site. You might think I'm done, but I'm not. There's two more. And you know only one of these is going to make money. But by God, I hope you go see something besides the last one. Holcomb is a horror movie, and it's about reclusive novelist, or Bauman, played by Adam Scott, who retreats to a remote Irish inn to scatter his parents' ashes. The staff's tales of an ancient witch haunting the honeymoon suite take hold of his mind. Soon, disturbing visions and a shocking disappearance draw him into a nightmarish confrontation with the darkest corners of his past. Then lastly, there's a sequel to a little-known movie. It's kind of an independent film called The Devil Wears Prada 2, which I believe everyone will be at, as opposed to Hokum, Deepwater, yes. Animal Farm, or Swapped. And almost 20 years after making their iconic turns is Miranda, Andy, Emily, and Nigel, Meryl Streep, Anne Hathaway, Emily Blunt, and Stanley Tucci, who, just so you know, fun fact, married to Emily Blunt's sister. True story. They return to the fashionable streets of New York City and the sleek offices of Runway Magazine in the eagerly and awaited sequel to the 2006 phenomena that defied a generation. Or defined. I don't know if I said defied or defined, but I'm having a real hard time speaking today, and you're just going to have to guess or rewind. What do you guys think?
How awkward that you can't speak on a podcast.
It is
a really bad time for that to happen.
It really shouldn't happen this often. But
it does.
It's usually a name. I usually get a name wrong, but I don't usually speak. I'm usually a pretty good speaker. So this might be the end. This might be where my skin.
The beginning of the end.
I lost an arm. Now I'm going to lose my mind. It's all the sun. The sun's taking it all. I'll get better. Stay with us. I promise.
Well, we know that Devil Wears Prada 2 is going to take the weekend for sure.
yes.
Fun stories
we do know that.
Yes. About this one, though. The Corellian was the code name that they actually used during production in New York City. They use the codename Corellian because it's a direct nod to Miranda Priestley's famous monologue about Andy's Corellian blue sweater in the 2006 film.
Ooh, had no idea.
This is the first time they actually used real fashion show footage because in the first movie, the fashion industry like shunned the movie. And so now they actually have real clips from real fashion shows, including Dolce & Gabbana and from Milan. So it'll be a fun time. I really do think that they're going to run away with this one.
Another fun fact, Adrian Grenier has nothing to do with this movie. They didn't invite him back.
Ouch.
Wow.
But nobody gives a shit about Nate. Let's be honest.
It's odd. I mean, it is odd, though.
And then Hokum is not a horror movie. I'm not a horror person. Deep Water. What in the F is this? The plane floats. How does the plane float? I don't understand. It is such a, when you see the trailer, it is ridiculous. This movie, nobody should watch this movie. Now, Swapped and Animal Farm is an interesting play for the weekend because Swapped is pretty cut and paint by the numbers. Like, you've seen this before. It's the same kind of Freaky Friday type story, but it looks amazing and belongs in a theater, where Animal Farm just looks like a complete devilish, you know, shoved down your throat kind of political commentary where it looks okay. But the fact that it's going to the theater when Swapped should be there so that you could get mom going to see Prada and the kids going to see Swapped. Yeah, this is a bad move on Netflix's part, in my opinion.
I'm guessing the plane eventually sinks.
Probably.
Right? I mean, I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will.
It floated long enough for the trailer that I was kind of like, what is going on?
I just know Rennie Harlan did Deep Blue Sea, which is one of my favorite shark movies. That's what I'm referring to. Samuel L. Jackson famously got snatched mid-monologue. But man, did you watch any of the Strangers movies? He did the whole trifecta of the three recent movies. Freaking terrible. All the way around. All the way across. All the way through that trilogy. Terrible movies, each one of them. Like, they didn't even get better. They just equally sucked. It's too bad. I used to like him a lot. Amanda, what do you got? Just Devil Wears Prada?
That's the one that I'm most excited for, obviously. But I would be remiss if I didn't mention Hokum, partly because we didn't get to watch it and wanted to watch it.
Oh, at South By, yeah.
Yeah. And Swap does sound interesting. It's weird, but I do kind of want to check it out. But if we're choosing one for the week, it's not even a question. It's Devil Wears Prada 2.
I actually watched the trailer for Animal Farm because I do like Orwell's ideas.
Right.
You know, it does not work, I don't think. Whatever they're doing, at least in the trailer, it does not work. It just seems like they did not understand. They're not on message. They're not on brand. They're not really paying attention to what that message was. They're making it too cutesy, and it's just not a cutesy story.
Yeah, it was weird.
It's using cutesy elements to try to sell the story, but it's not a cutesy story. I don't know if you guys feel one way or the other, but let's move on to the next one. So now we move on to May 8th, and we've got Couples Weekend, which is going to be a limited release, but that's trapped in a cozy cabin by a blizzard. Two couples ring in the new year with a mysterious cocktail that strips away their inhibitions. It's called drinking. No, I'm just kidding. Turning their romantic getaway into chaos with a showdown of secrets, betrayals, and rapidly shifting loyalties. I will tell you, whenever I see chaos in a description, I think, ah, ChatGPT wrote that. Anyway, it's starring Josh Gad, Alexandria Daddario, David Diggs, and Ashley Park. Then we've got Remarkably Bright Creatures, which looks, I think, pretty stellar. If you watch the trailer, there's a lot of animation. It's a Netflix movie. I don't know if it's going to hold because it's a Netflix movie, but we'll go from here. A widow who works at a local aquarium finds joy again when she forms an unlikely bond with a giant Pacific octopus and a wayward young man who comes into town in search of family. Together, they will uncover a mystery that will lead them into a life-changing discovery and restore their sense of wonder. And it's based on the best-selling book. Stars Sally Field, the great Sally Field. I really like her. And Lewis Pullman. Then you've got a weird collaboration. You got Billie Eilish, Hit Me Hard and Soft, the tour. And this is directed by, James Cameron.
What? When I saw this was true like story. A thing, I legitimately thought this was an AI trick on like a trailer because there was a trailer for it.
That's funny.
I was like, there's no way James Cameron is like hyping up Billie Eilish. No, he clearly has love for her.
Mm-hmm. And it's live in 3D. So James Cameron, he knows what he's doing there. Captured during her sold out world tour, brings an innovative new concert experience to the big screen from one of the most celebrated and successful artists of her generation. Yeah, that's what they're touting in a movie directed by James freaking Cameron.
Also, and I hate to say this, but you already, and I love Billie Eilish. I think she's fantastic. She has a really beautiful voice. I love that she's kind of leaned into that, especially since she did the song for James Bond.
Less
I feel like
breathing.
Her career has kind of gone
less
into
breathing songs.
I like those too.
Okay.
But anyway, I was going to say it's hard at this point after 2025,
it's hard and
in
soft.
My opinion, to scale up beyond the two really large movie theater, I guess, releases of a tour, which was Taylor Swift and Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were huge. I'm not saying that Billie Eilish isn't huge, but at what point are we just playing the concerts in a movie theater and doing, like, is there going to be anything different, you know, than we've already seen?
Can I say something?
Sure.
It's much more affordable for most people.
No, I hear you. And is that the intention? Possibly. I don't know the answer to that. I guess that's my question. Because otherwise, I feel like you are, if there's intent from a documentary standpoint, I would be curious what the message or goal is other than to shine a light on the musician themselves. Otherwise, it just feels like it's a concert in theater. And I feel like it should be positioned that way.
I think.
If you remember Carousel's theaters, they used to do those weird opera showing things. And it was like I feel like just do it like that then.
You think it's a gimmick?
It's just weird.
I think
say it's a concert.
I'd
if it's not a documentary.
I'd love to tell you what I think.
I'm sorry. I've gone on a tangent.
It's okay. James Cameron, we all go on tangents. I mean, it's fine. James Cameron being the director that he is, I don't think he does this unless he has some 3D cool ass trick to make this look like a concert movie that pops off the screen. I'm not even a huge Billie Eilish fan. I like some of her songs. I will probably go see this just to see, once I see what reviews say, that if it's a different experience, to see if he did something drastically different with 3D.
I mean, that has to be like his whole thing, right? Like that has to be the intention and why he's this involved. Because otherwise it's just a concert movie.
I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Tay Tay because Tay can write songs. Beyonce can dance like nobody else. Billie Eilish is an artist and James Cameron is an artist. When you take two artists and put them together, you're going to have magic happen. So this is going to be something to be seen from a film perspective. Like if you're a film goer, like you should be all over this because it's going to be special. Whether it's going to be good or not, I have no idea, but it's going to be special.
It better be special, Troy, because right now, all I have for this that feels like it's anything different from what we've seen is James Cameron's name attached.
And that should be more than enough.
It should be more than enough, but he's also never done a music movie. So
he also did Avatar 3, and I don't give a shit about that either. All right, let's move on. I got two more movies left. So Mortal Kombat 2. Yeah, the sequel's coming out. They made it a summer release. It was supposed to come out earlier, and they pushed it to summer because they think it's that good. The fan favorite champions are now joined by Johnny Cage himself, Carl freaking Urban. And they're pitted against one another in the ultimate no-holds-barred gory battle to defeat the dark rule of Shao Kahn that threatens the very existence of Earthrealm and its defenders. I don't give a shit what the plot is. I'm in it for Carl Urban. And also 4DX. They're going to have a 4DX release of this one. I have to see it in 4DX. Because Mortal Kombat, with all of the... And you know, 4DX has water, has moving chair. I mean, it's like going to a theme park. Can you imagine like 2 hours of just getting your ass kicked? I'm in.
Blood squirted in your face.
Yeah,
it's, why not? So much fun. Why not?
Finish him! And then lastly, one of my most anticipated movies of the year now, I don't know why, is The Sheep Detectives.
Oh. Yeah, we don't know why.
Okay.
Because Aaron saw the trailer, and trailers are important. We covered this 2 weeks ago.
It's because of Hugh Jackman, period.
It's Hugh Jackman and the trailer. The trailer won me over. So in this witty new breed of mystery, George, who's Hugh Jackman, is the most handsome shepherd you're ever going to see, who reads detective novels to his beloved sheep every single night, assuming they can't possibly understand. But he's wrong, because when a mysterious incident disrupts life on that farm, a much more exciting farm than the animal farm, the sheep realize they must become the detectives. That's right, they're fluffy dicks. And as they follow the clues and investigate human suspects, they prove that even sheep can be brilliant crime solvers.
How high were they when they came up with this idea?
Not high enough. They should have went even further. Talking
That's
sheep.
So I wild.
I love it. Love it.
Mary's going to show up.
Ah, boy. A thinking Jeez. Joke.
Jeez. Mary, joke. The only one who's ever had a freaking lamb.
I know.
Other Jeez. Than Noah.
And Jesus. I think he had one.
He had one, but I was going with Noah for the ark.
He had two.
He did.
Until he was
had
hungry.
More than one. That's so wrong.
That's so bad.
So what do you guys think? Anything exciting here for either one of you? Or am I just the only one that, number one, wants that 4D experience, and number two, wants to see Sheep Detectives?
Well, I think it's really weird that we're getting a New Year movie, like New Year's movie in May. It's kind of odd. Am I potentially interested? Yeah.
Oh,
I
couples
might watch
weekend?
It. Couples weekend, yeah. But it's just weird that we're talking about ringing in the new year, but this should have happened in January or late December.
And more likely to have people see it.
Yeah that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat, might check that out. Sheep Detectives, purely based on intrigue.
Did you watch the trailer?
I haven't watched the trailer.
Watch the trailer.
Watch the trailer.
I feel like
for that one.
I don't know. I kind of want to just go in blind now that I know what it's about. It's
Fine.
Just going to be weird.
That's probably fair. There are many people that enjoy movies more than that.
Don't
way.
Watch the trailer. Go in
I'm
blind.
I'm much more interested in something else coming out in May. Let me just put it that way.
Okay, let's get to that one because I know what that is. I'm guessing it's May 12th.
It is.
Okay, that's the Punisher One Last Kill Disney Plus special. Yeah, that's Frank Castle tries to live a life without the need for revenge, only to be drawn into an unexpected conflict as John Bernthal, he's back as the Punisher, and this leads directly into Spider-Man Brand New Day.
Who cares? It's John Bernthal back as Frank Castle.
And
that's all I care about.
They let him work creatively on this one. So this is his baby. He's very excited about this.
I'm so excited about this. And it's making my Disney Plus membership worth it because right now I don't use it for anything.
I don't either. I don't even know what my login is.
I can't remember the last time I was on the app. I haven't used the app in so long.
Me either.
That people are asking me for my password that I do not share an account with. Wink, wink. But
I was going to say, you better not be handing that password out.
I had to reset passwords, like figure out what was going on, all kinds of things. Because you have to use the QR code.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a journey to figure out. And I realized it was a very, 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 very old password, which means, no, I have not logged in a very long time.
Same here.
Is the Yeah game going to be in play here?
Oh, with John Bernthal?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be.
Coming
it's going to be.
Spider-Man? Yeah.
He's got that. That's his tick. He's got a tick. You know, everybody's tick. Got a little tick.
I love that nobody wants to go up against the Punisher. That's all for May 12th.
I mean, it's on streaming.
It's a midweek release.
So,
it's a midweek release.
Guys,
come on.
Let me use my line.
Okay.
Nobody wants to fight the man.
I don't think it's a full-length movie. I think they're doing like an hour special, but I don't care. Whatever it is. It's fine. Let's go. Let's make it full hard R.
I wonder if it's just to try to garner interest.
Well, I'm sure.
Like, obviously, it's a stepping stone, but like, okay, we'll put this much money into it, and if it's really good, then we'll see what else can happen.
I'll tell you what.
So everybody better watch it.
He was the best part about Daredevil season, or Born Again season one. He was the best part. He was awesome. So if they come close to that, yes, he's a wonderful man.
You know what's great about it?
No, is that they made it. I mean, as the Punisher, he's great.
Yeah.
That's the key. They made it a movie and not some 6-episode TV series.
Agreed.
Yeah. They've learned their ways.
Easy. There's like 18 episodes of Daredevil season two coming or something. So calm down. Season two and three. I think they're filming it at once. Anyway, so we got Magic Hour for May 15th. This is May 15th run now. Charlie and Aaron escaped to the desert to navigate.
I get to talk about my May 8th weekend.
Well, I mean, it's not like you haven't had time, Troy. Like, we've been yapping for a while. It better not be Billie Eilish.
Amanda was talking about it, and she's like, I don't care about Mother's Day. I want to go to the 12th. Like, screw the moms. You know, okay. She just blew past it.
Fine. Go take your son. And
I just want to say, I'm going to go see Sheep Detectives. Mortal Kombat. I can pass. I'll wait for it to come home. But Remarkably Bright Creatures.
See, words aren't that easy, are they, Troy? Not.
They sure aren't. But Sally Field's amazing, and I think that's going to be a great release for them to put that on Mother's Day. I think that's going to be a big hit.
Good call.
For that weekend. But Couples Weekend is my jam. Like, that looks so good, and I am not a Josh Gad fan by any stretch of the imagination, but that looked bonkers, and I can't wait. I don't care if it's a New Year thing.
It does look
bonkers. I don't care if it's snow on the ground. It's going to be good.
Just as a summary, Troy went through and said that he wanted to see every single movie on the list except for Mortal Kombat 2.
I said, I'll see it when it comes home. I don't need to go to the theater.
But I mean, everything else, you were like, really want to see this? I really got to see this.
Longest way in the world to say, I don't give a shit about Mortal Kombat. You can finish it. All right, May 15th. Can I finish that one?
Okay. You're good.
Did you want to talk about Punisher? Did you have any additional thoughts on Punisher?
I think you covered everybody's possible thoughts there. Magic Hour. Charlie and Aaron escape to a desert to navigate an unexpected and challenging new phase of the relationship. A Duplass Brothers production stars Daveed Diggs and Katie Hazelton. Then you've got In the Gray. In the Gray follows a covert team of elite operatives, as they always are in a Guy Ritchie movie, who live in the global shadows, as comfortable wielding power and influence as they are automatic weapons and high explosives. When a ruthless despot steals a billion-dollar fortune, the team is sent to steal it back on what would be for anyone else a suicide mission. But these mofos are way more badass than that, because it's Henry Cavill, Jake Gyllenhaal, Isaac Gonzalez, and Rosamund Pike. Yeah, that's a freaking cast, guys. That's how a cast works.
I don't care about the story, Guy Ritchie. I care about the fact that he's directing a movie in that cast. And it sounds fantastic.
It will.
And fun. That's a good. That seems like a good summer movie with a good bucket of popcorn, some friends.
And it's Guy Ritchie, so no one will see it. Is God Is is the next one. And that's about two sisters who embark on an epic quest for revenge, confronting a charged family history that will push them to extraordinary lengths. And I will tell you, this trailer is fantastic. So I am going to see this in a theater, and it might be the one I see over In the Gray. I can't decide if I can talk some people into it. You know what I mean? Because there's a
Why
lot
not
of
do a movie like, it.
Don't gotta talk me into it. That's where I was going.
Well, you hang tight. There's one more movie. I don't need to see it because I've already seen it, but I will see it again because it's already one of my favorite movies of the year. Saw it at South by Obsession. Mm-hmm. This is if you listen to the South by episode, this is the movie that I raved as my favorite movie of the festival. Point that out. After breaking the mysterious One Wish Willow to win his crush's heart, a hopeless romantic finds himself getting exactly what he asked for, but soon discovers that some desires come at a dark, sinister price. It's directed by Curry Barker. This is a movie that basically takes a pretty novel concept and just goes bonkers with it. It is wild. It's a great horror movie, and it does things that even when you expect them, it does them in an unexpected way, which is what I love to see in a horror movie. So love this movie. I'm telling you right now, it's awesome. Go see it if you love horror movies. But I'm also very interested in Is God Is.
I'm not the horror person, as I mentioned, but I will be going to see Obsession because it feels more like The Ring. It feels more suspenseful. It feels more.
It is. Yep.
So, you know, bump of the night around the corner versus just pure ass gore for the gore of it. And from what I saw from the trailer and from what Aaron said for it on South By, like, yeah, totally up my alley. I'm excited. It's going to be a fun weekend.
There's a lot to see.
There are three movies that I don't know I want to go the weekend without seeing. Mm. In the Gray. I already talked about that one a little bit. Mm-hmm. Is God Is. The cast in that is insane.
Insane.
There's no way I'm going to miss that.
Yeah. And Sterling then Obsession. K. Brown, Tessa Thompson, Janelle Monáe.
Janelle Monáe. Yes. Like, it's insane. It's stacked. Obsession, though, I will say is going to take number one for that week for it me
better.
Because of Aaron. This name, I think he actually became obsessed because at South by Southwest, this is the one movie that he would not stop talking about in a very good way, obviously. So knowing how quickly that came to the top of his list, and Aaron isn't usually a immediate fantastic film, like usually sits in it a little bit unless it really is that much of a call out. So I'm looking forward to finally seeing what he's been raving about.
And there's another movie from last year that was my favorite movie from last year's South by that's coming out this summer, so I can't wait to talk about that.
Yeah, finally. How exciting.
Oh my god,
we weren't even sure if that one was going to get distribution because it didn't have it secured at the festival last year. Right, correct. Crazy.
Okay, now I've sit tight because we've got quite a bit to get through here, all right? So
he's saying shut up to me.
I mean, I didn't say it, but
politely.
Yeah. Okay. Now on May 20th on Prime, Jack Ryan Woo! Ghost War. That's right. Woo! Jack Ryan is back. It's just a movie. Thank God.
Thank God.
Yes, thank God. Right? Like I love him as Jack Ryan. John Krasinski is great. The show goes on too long, mm-hmm. and it's too long.
The last season, drug.
Yeah, it was so... Operating in real time with the lives on the line and the threat escalating at every turn, Jack reunites with battle-tested CIA operative Mike November, that's Michael Kelly, and former CIA boss James Greer, Wendell Pierce. Their combined experience, the only edge they have against an enemy who knows every move. And then they're backed by an unlikely new partner, razor sharp MI6 officer Emma Marlowe, who's Sienna Miller. Jack and the team navigate a treacherous web of betrayal, facing a past they thought was long put to rest, making this the most personal high-stakes mission of any of them they have ever faced. I really hope this begins a film series and we get away from TV shows. Then we have May 22nd.
I really hope what happens is that this stands alone and you don't need to know anything of the four seasons in order to like follow it along.
I have seen some interviews to indicate that they have made sure that this can stand alone.
Okay. Because that whole like, high stakes mission of any that they faced, right? Put long to rest. Like those words like make me nervous.
Better fill in the gaps for people that don't remember because you made it too stretched out. I can't remember a lot of the history now. Yeah, I get it. May 22nd, Corporate Retreat. Wild trailer. Go find it. It's worth watching. Follows a group of corporate executives from a rising tech company attending a company retreat at a remote desert mansion. The team bonding trip turns into a blood-soaked competition when the group is trapped in a sadistic game of survival. It sounds like every other corporate event I've ever been to. Then we have I Love Boosters, which is also premiered at South By. We didn't get to see that one, though. A group of professional shoplifters take aim at a cutthroat fashion maven. It's like a community service. And it's got Demi Moore and Kiki Palmer and Lakeith Stanfield, and it's directed by Boots Riley. Then you have Passenger. It's another horror movie. After a young couple witnesses a gruesome highway accident, they soon realize they did not leave the crash scene alone, as a demonic presence called the Passenger that won't stop until it claims them both and turns their van life adventure into a nightmare. Cool trailer. I recommend that one as well.
I just reference him as Dexter.
Fair enough. Different. Much more demonic.
Much more demonic.
And then lastly, we have The Mandalorian and Grogu. That's right. The evil empire has fallen and imperial warlords remain scattered throughout the galaxy. As the fledgling New Republic works to protect everything the rebellion fought for, they have enlisted the help of legendary Mandalorian bounty hunter Din Djarin. Yeah, I said it wrong, Troy. You're welcome.
Din Djarin.
Yeah. I know. It's played by Pedro Pascal. The D is silent. I remember. And his young apprentice, Grogu. Yes, it's Pedro Pascal and a puppet, and it's directed by Jon Favreau. Look, all of that, and I'll just say this quick. I am finally, for the longest of years, excited about a Star Wars movie again. No one crap on my buzz. I'm very pumped for The Mandalorian.
I'll even agree with that.
Not pumped for Darth Maul, Shadow Lord.
No.
So you're not watching that?
It's animated. Don't care.
Okay. And heard great things about I Love Boosters. So excited to finally check that
out. Mm-hmm. The trailer is funny as hell. And I love that they're taking like the fashion thing and like doubling down on it in May, you know, with the Prada and then having this come afterwards. So people that are fashion people, they're going to just have a fun time at the theater.
It's Kiki. We're all going to have a fun time at
the
theater.
I love Kiki Palmer. Love her.
I know. She's fantastic. She's so funny.
Troy, you're not saying much about The Mandalorian and Grogu. Are you not excited? You're a big Star Wars nut. Are you not pumped for this? You're just done with it?
It's Star Wars. It's the next thing. It's like, at this point, Star Wars is now Marvel. It's like, okay, it's coming out. We're all going to watch it. Who cares?
Damn.
There's nothing exciting about it. It's like, it's the next Star Wars thing. We're going to go see it. Checkbox.
Okay.
Fair enough. Then when we're done seeing it, then we'd be like, okay, that was fucking epic, right? Because until you actually see it and it's actually finished, then you can actually comment on it.
Well, be careful if you're dropping that F-bomb around kids at the theater, because there's going to be a lot of kids at that Grogu movie.
He's a creepy little dude.
Okay.
For being 50 years old. Yeah, the passenger looks slick. I like that. That one is that's a horror I can get behind.
Troy, I'm with you. And if you haven't seen the trailer, like seriously, watch the trailers of some of these things if you're wondering, you want to know a little bit more about them. If I'm raving about it, it's because they really cut a really nice trailer. And there's a lot of trailers that are just junk and it looks generic and nothing really special. This is a cool one. If you find Passenger, it's a cool trailer. It's well cut.
Yeah. And the trailer doesn't even focus on the young couple that much, which the movie's really about.
Right.
So it's a great way to intro you to the thing without having to explain the thing so that you get too much away. Cause it's a movie I don't want much given away for.
Well, we got to move a little faster here because I'm probably dragging on with all these titles. But May 29th, Back Rooms. A strange doorway appears in the basement of a furniture showroom. After a therapist patient goes missing into a dimension beyond reality, she has to enter the unknown to save him. It's directed by Kane Parsons off his own web series. And let me tell you, anytime I put a Facebook post up on The Hollywood Outsider about Back Rooms, it blows up. I'm just letting you know, this might be a surprise hit.
This is my like must-see of May.
Really?
Yes. It looks fantastic.
Sounds really, really interesting.
It's so wild and so Severance and so like dimensionally and so time warpy. And it's like, yeah, this is so up my alley. And it feels like Blair Witch at the same time.
Huh. Okay. I don't know what to say about that. I'm kind of surprised. But I will say, like, it's amazing to me how much streamers and that sort of like are really transferring their talent to the big screen. And like Mark Plyer, whatever, he just did that not too long ago. He made a hit film on self-distribution. And so there's a lot of clout from having a hit YouTube series. And that's Backrooms is massive. And I know there's a creepypasta background and everything else, but it's a YouTube series and it's really, really popular. So keep an eye on that one. I think it might be a surprise big hit. We also have Pressure in the tense 72 hours before D-Day and the fate of the free world hanging in the balance. Pressure follows General Dwight Eisenhower and Captain James Stagg as they face an impossible choice: to launch the largest and most dangerous seaborne invasion in history or risk losing the war altogether. Brendan Fraser and Damian Lewis. And then lastly, I love this guy. I've seen him in concert. I think he's hilarious. Nate Bargatze has his first movie. It's a comedy. Seems like a family comedy, very Mr. Mom. Follows the misadventures of Nate Wilcox, who's Nate Bargatze, whose wife, Katie, is Mandy Moore. I know you love Mandy Moore, Troy. And she lands a once-in-a-lifetime deal on Shark Tank that takes her on a prolonged business trip. And now the lifelong breadwinner has to fend for his family as a first-time stay-at-home dad. Oh, look, dads don't know what to do. He's going to have to learn the hard way. As if that's the only thing I don't like about these movies is they act like dads are stupid, and I don't appreciate that. With three young daughters and little experience handling their day-to-day needs, Nate finds out quickly that running the household is the toughest gig he's ever had. Also, this is another one. Whenever I put a post on Facebook, blows up. Nate Bargatze is very popular right now.
And it looks fun. It looks like a cross between like Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead and Adventures in Babysitting.
Looks like Mr. Mom, dude. It's just Mr. Mom.
I mean, sure, but I was trying not to go there because then people are like, oh, it's a remake. It's a retread.
It is. It's just a remake basically with Nate Bargatze's humor as opposed to Michael Keaton. That's the difference.
The kids are wittier, I think.
I haven't seen Mr. Mom in 40 years, so I probably, sure. I hope the wit's evolved since then.
The trailer's good. I laugh a lot in the trailer.
It's very cute. It's going to be a big family film.
I'm thinking Pressure is where I'm leaning.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Brendan Fraser. I love him. I feel like it'll be good. It sounds...
It's a war movie.
A little fun. Yep. It sounds a little fun.
The war movie sounds fun?
Yep. Sounds like something I can get behind. Well, it's like, because it's all tense. Tense action. It sounds like it would probably be fun.
I bet you it's 2 hours of talking.
The prequel to Saving Private Ryan?
I really hope not. I hope it's adventure.
It's not going to be adventure. It's two guys debating if there's going to be a war. It's 72 hours before D-Day. That's the
yeah,
adventure.
Yeah, but that is a that is a very tension-driven time.
It's going to be a lot of men screaming at each other.
So not the fun family Nate Bargatze, and not the cool backrooms.
Backrooms, I do really want to see. Look, I was just trying to give another shout out to one of the other movies. Okay, can we move along?
We don't do pity here, Amanda.
All right, no, but it's Brendan Fraser. I'm here for Brendan.
Okay. I believe it's Oscar winner, Brendan Fraser. Thank you.
That's correct.
Yeah. All right, Nate Bargatze, you win, as far as I'm concerned. Troy, you're in charge of June. Let's go. Maybe you can talk better.
June's the best month because Caroline.
Our birthdays! Oh, sorry. I thought you were going with both Aaron and I's birthdays are in June, because
guess
that's
not.
The correct answer.
Guess not. No, it's all about Troy.
It's the best month of all the summer movies coming all at once.
Because of?
Caroline.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Caroline is desperate to escape her small West Texas town. Caroline Daniels runs away with a charismatic con man who takes her on a romantic crime spree through the American South. But as confidence games escalate into more elaborate heists, Caroline transforms into a criminal icon and notorious bank robber. All you have to say is Samara Weaving and I was in.
Agreed.
This looks so good. It looks so fun. And I cannot wait to see what her and Kyle do against each other. Kyle Gallagher's here. They're going to pull off. It's going to be amazing. Cannot wait.
Also, anyone who's been to a small West Texas town would understand why she's trying to escape.
Yes. This guy, however, is not trying to escape. He's trying to get back home. And that is Adam, the prince of the masters of the universe. That's
I
right.
I have the power.
Woo!
After being separated for 15 years, the Sword of Power finally leads Prince Adam, played by Nicholas Glitzedine, back to Eternia, where he discovers his home shattered under the fiendish rule of Skeletor. Jared Leto. Skeletor with gold teeth? I don't know. To save his family. It would be. He's got to save his family and his world. Adam must join forces with his closest allies. Tila, played by Camila Mendez, from Riverdale fame.
Love her.
And Duncan, Man-at-Arms, Idris Elba.
Love him.
Going to be great. And embrace his true destiny as He-Man. And hopefully Battle Cat makes an appearance as well.
Does. Yep. In the trailer. Yep.
Then we have Power Ballad. Because if singing tunes across the galaxy wasn't good enough, you're going to have Paul Rudd shine his musical talents. But he's past his prime as a wedding singer. But he meets a fading boy band star named Danny, played by one Nick Jonas. During a gig, the two bond over music in a late night jam session. But of course, the up-and-comer turns one of Rick's songs into his next big hit that reignites his career. And then Rick sets out to reclaim the recognition he believes he deserves, even if it means risking everything he cares about. It's a Paul Rudd movie. How can you not go wrong?
I've heard great things. It played at South by, and we couldn't get to it, but man, I've heard it played really well. It was really popular.
The trailer alone was epic. So
yeah.
Scary Movie 6, need we say more? 26 years after outrunning a suspiciously familiar mass killer, the core four are back in the killer's crosshairs, and no horror movie IP is safe. Yes, Marlon Wayans, Shorty, Sean Wayans, Ray, Anna Faris's Cindy, and Regina Hall's Brenda reunite in Scary Movie 6 alongside returning favorites and fresh faces to slasher reboots, remakes, requels, prequels, sequels, and spinoffs. There'll be elevated horror, origin stories, and anything with the word legacy in it, and every final chapter that absolutely isn't ever final.
Hmm. I gotta say...
And that's just the first weekend in June.
I know, man. Scary Movie 6, I wasn't interested in it until I watched the trailer. And I'm like, all right.
The trailer's funny.
The trailer's funny.
It might be funny.
Some of the scary movies aren't great, but this one does look funny.
I haven't liked any but the first one. Maybe the first two.
It feels like the first one and two. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's the Wayans. They're back. They weren't in
the part 26
three.
Years to figure out a good script, okay?
Sure. Have you seen those movies? The script isn't really what... Mm-hmm. It was important for any of it. I don't remember.
No, it's just a bunch of little skits related to movies.
Yeah, and a lot of fun penis jokes.
Yeah, some of them sucked, like I said.
Yeah, I'll see it, sure. But I'm excited. I'm actually excited for Masters of the Universe, and I didn't think I'd be able to say that with a straight face. There's two trailers out now. Both of them have impressed me with how much they get the property, and they're taking it serious enough without being too over the top. And it's very colorful. It's very bombastic. It's directed, I believe, by Travis Knight, who did Bumblebee, and he made Bumblebee work wonderfully. I really have no doubts at this point that movie is going to be very fun, and I'm very excited about it.
Except that the Gen Xers that watched Masters of the Universe growing up are probably the most jaded, so you're going to have to win them over.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, but you're going to get a lot of people bringing their kids to introduce them to what they grew up with. And I think there's a good chance this could be a big hit, also be a huge flop. We'll see. I don't think anybody sees Power Ballad.
I'm seeing Power Ballad. That's my first choice of the weekend.
Feels more indie to me.
It does feel very indie, but I feel like there's still a good potential between Paul Rudd and Nick Jonas having his name on it. I think you might get some of the younger
crowd-ish.
We'll see. Are they young at this point? They're
adults.
The Jonas brothers? You're right. But I do like that there's a variation in the genre between the movies coming out for this week. You have a lot to choose from, and they all sound or look good.
What's even better is we're almost a month and a half into summer. I feel like we're moving at a glacial pace, but we're a month and a half into summer, and we've already got a bunch of movies that sound exciting.
That's why we've been talking for so long.
I'm just telling you, man, this has been one of the most, the best summer lineups in a long time. This is a stacked summer.
Yeah, this June 5th weekend, this is the, you spend the weekend at the theater, especially if you're an A-list person, because every one of these is going to be good.
I meant the whole summer. Like, the schedule is great. It's packed. But yeah, this week too.
Specifically, June 5th is a great weekend. Because then it kind of dies off a little bit. There's some big ones for the rest of June, but there's real big ones in June. That's the big thing. Like Stop That Train, biggest movie of the summer, going to be a massive hit. Probably not. However, I'm not even going to read what the description
is.
For
June 12th. We're in June 12th.
Yeah, June 12th.
Yeah, June 12th. All I'm going to tell you is that Stop That Train is basically Airplane, the movie Airplane, but on a train in the modern era.
With drag queens. Yeah. Yeah. It's a RuPaul movie. Yep.
Yeah.
It's going to be campy and funny.
It looks ridiculous. The trailer's a start. Just watch the trailer. You'll understand.
It's actually really funny. Yeah.
We also have The Furious. When his daughter Rainey is abducted, humble tradesman Wang Wei is thrust into a deadly underworld of corruption and violence. His only ally is Naveen, a relentless journalist haunted by his own past. Together, they fight their way through an international criminal network in a desperate bid to save Rainey and uncover the truth. I basically said this one was kind of like a Bruce Lee dragon movie meets a John Wick movie, but with family.
Mm-hmm.
Family.
You know, there's one more, right?
It's the only movie you see this summer, and that's Steven Spielberg, because the aliens are real. The government has told us, and now we're going to get disclosed that they are real on Disclosure Day. Because if you found out, if we weren't alone, if someone showed you and proved it to you, would that frighten you? This summer, the truth belongs to 7 billion people, and we're coming this close. This close.
Oof. Yep, and it's Emily Blunt, directed by David Koepp. I got to tell you, I'm very excited about Disclosure Day. It's Spielberg, science fiction. He hasn't done one of those in a while, but I'm most excited about The Furious this week. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It looks great.
Looks fantastic. It's like John Wick on steroids. If that person on steroids ate Jet Li and spit out this movie, it just looks fantastic.
I said Bruce Lee and John Wick, but Jet Li's fine too. You
know? It's more Jet Li in terms of the fighting style. It's very, yes, very Jet Li. And I think it might be very modern, or related to him or something. I'm not sure, but man, it looks fantastic. Are you excited Spielberg is getting back into science? Is that why it's the one you're most excited about, is because it's Spielberg getting back into what he loved? Do you think he still has it to make that Close Encounters magic happen?
Yes. Okay. I've been waiting for a Close Encounters 2 since the 70s. Come on. We're here.
Okay. Sounds good.
It's going to be great. The question is will he show inside the ship, or will he not show inside the ship? Because
I don't know. Last time he showed a spaceship was Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. That's all I'm saying.
Well, there's a Close Encounters cut where you see the inside of the ship, and that is not very well liked by Close Encounters fans. Just saying.
Yeah, it's 50 years ago. Get over it.
Father's Day weekend, though, is usually owned by Pixar.
Not this year.
Oh, no.
Maybe. Okay. Maybe. Is this Father's Day weekend?
June 19th?
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Because I'm going across Illinois, so I won't be able to see it until I get back.
June 19th.
On my bicycle.
Okay. Sounds good.
So Toy Story 5 is coming, right? The toys are back, and now the toys have to fight with technology, right? Because the leap pads are here. This one's called Lily Pad, I believe is the actual name of it, voiced by Greta Lee. Tablet device, Bonnie's going to be hanging out with it. So going to be ignoring all the other toys and how do they all feel sad. And so they're going to figure their way out to see if playtime will ever be the same again. So this is the second in the Bonnie trilogy, if we get a third, depending how this one does, which will do just fine.
I'm sure it will be fine and I still won't see it.
I just want them to finish Toy Story 6 and finish the Bonnie trilogy before Tom Hanks and Tim Allen pass away. That's all I'm saying, because it took a long time to get to 5 from 4.
With AI, they'll get their voices. It'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll all be AI. But Hugh Jackman's having a banger summer because he's back again, and this time along with Aaron and My Girlfriend, Jodie Comer, in The Death of Robin Hood. This one is wild. It's an A24, I believe, grappling with the past life of a crime and murderer. Robin Hood, Hugh Jackman finds himself gravely injured after a battle he thought would be his last. In the hands of a mysterious woman, he is offered a chance at salvation. So this is not the Robin Hood story that you know. This is a completely different kind of Robin Hood.
It's Logan for Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
So of course they get Hugh Jackman for it.
So good.
There's no talking sheep though. So,
I don't know. He might see sheep though, because it's going to be drugged up and whatever, reliving past experiences.
Ayahuasca.
Yeah. Also, Leviticus comes out. Two star-crossed teenage boys who must escape a violent entity that takes the form of the person they desire most, each other. Sounds like a twins play, but not demonic twins. It's even worse for Aaron.
Yeah, not interested.
But Girls Like Girls, I think, is going to be an interesting one. Based on writer-director Hayley Kiyoko's hit single and best-selling novel of the same name, and featuring all new music from Kiyoko, Girls Like Girls is a heartfelt coming-of-age story set over the course of one sun-drenched summer where new girl in town, Coley, falls in love for the very first time while learning to accept herself along the way. And as much as it focuses on Coley, it also focuses on one of the other teen members in the group of friends she hangs out with. So both of them are kind of trying to find themselves through the course of this summer. It's going to be good.
Amanda, what do you think? Are you excited about any of these? Because I kind of...
So Toy Story 5, I'm still going to see it, right? After 3, I didn't think I'd get back on board. Then I watched 4 and I liked it. Granted, 3 still had the perfect ending. So I want to still give 5 a chance. I feel like I owe it, right, to Buzz and Woody. But otherwise, I'm curious about Leviticus and Hugh Jackman, man. He's staying busy.
I will tell you this as a huge Hugh Jackman fan. I will be going to see probably a couple of those June 5th movies I missed this weekend. Jodie Comer, I'm actually more excited about that. I just feel like this story, there's nothing new here. And I'll probably wait until more comes out and maybe I'll feel like there's something fresh here, but it just feels like I've seen this before. And it was better when it was called Logan.
It feels like, after watching the trailer, it feels like Logan crossed with his Les Mis Jean Valjean performance.
Yeah, when that's not a win for me. I didn't like Les Mis. So that's why I'm kind of on it. I mean, I don't want to be it. I love Hugh Jackman. We'll see him in just about anything, especially if there's a talking sheep. But there's no talking sheep here. But it does have Jodie Comer. So it's kind of like, I'll probably see this one in the theater. I'm sure I will. Because there's nothing else here that I want to see. I don't care about Toy Story. Leviticus I would watch, but I probably don't need to run out to a theater to see it. Girls Like Girls, same thing. And yeah, it's kind of a weak to me.
All right. Well, then moving on to June 26th, Lucky Strike. A U.S. soldier becomes trapped behind enemy lines during the Battle of the Bulge and must rely on a Motorola SCR-300 radio and his own ingenuity to evade the advancing Nazi Panzer Army and find his way home. This one stars Colin Hanks and Scott Eastwood.
Ooh, Nepo Baby movie.
Yeah. Brought to you by Motorola, apparently.
Of course.
You have to call it the very specific model.
Great.
I don't even know where to go for this, but I'm going to jump to the invite Joe and Angela are on thin ice, and tonight might be when it all falls apart. Unfortunately, their upstairs neighbors are about to arrive for dinner, and everything that can go wrong goes worse. This is actually written by Rashida Jones and stars Seth Rogen, Edward Norton, Penelope Cruz, and Olivia Wilde, directed by Olivia Wilde. Mm-hmm. It is a kind of remake, a reimagining of the movie called The People Upstairs from Spain. This one, to me, like, I'm all about this. The trailer was like, it was like, I don't know, like, what's happening. There's a lot of stuff implied, but you're not sure where it's really going to go. The trailer art style is actually really fantastic. And how they do the letterboxing, mm-hmm. and how they focus on things during the course of the trailer. So that has me very intrigued. Then there's Supergirl, right?
Yeah.
DC Studios. It's the newest feature film to hit the big screen. It'll be in theaters worldwide this summer from Warner Brothers. Still Warner Brothers at this point in time.
So far, yeah.
Millie Alcock is back in the dual role of Supergirl, a.k.a. Kara Zor-El. Craig Gillespie is going to be directing this. The story is basically an unexpected and ruthless adversary strikes a little too close to home for Kara, and so she goes on a revenge quest. Supergirl joins forces with an unlucky companion on an epic interstellar journey of vengeance and justice. And that's right, it's Jason Momoa here in the DC. But remember, he's not Aquaman. This is the new DC universe.
He's Lobo, but still my man. That's honestly why I want to see it. I don't want to see the invite, but I do want to see the invite. I like the idea. I like the trailer. Olivia Wilde, man, don't worry, darling, just didn't do anything for me. There was so much potential and I thought it was wasted, but I did like Booksmart, so I'll probably see it. And I don't
Booksmart's so good.
Care about this last one. I forgot you have one more.
Jackass, the best and last. Need we say more? When you hear the guitar, when you hear the guitar riff, you just know you're in for a wild ride and it's going to be good. It's the best and last. How could it not be?
Here's my question on Jackass. You got another movie. How does it compete today with TikTok and YouTube? Like, I don't know if people will, I say that and then it'll be a huge hit, but I don't know if it can compete in today's environment. Like, they can get it. What you get on TikTok or on Jackass, you can get on TikTok right now. You don't have to pay for it.
Yeah, but it's the Knoxville. You're going to get the faithful fans that are going to come and bring their friends and one last hurrah, you know,
sure.
Yeah, that's what they're banking on, calling it best and last until it isn't. But if it is the best and last, people want to see the finale.
Mandy, you've been awfully quiet. Nothing here? Not Supergirl, nothing?
Only care about Supergirl mostly for Jason Momoa, so don't really care. I'll watch it at some point, but not going to rush to the theater to see it.
Did you like Superman?
It was okay.
Okay. Oof. All right.
Jackass, don't really care, just because I feel like I've seen, I don't know how much more injury they can cause to each other without death. So I don't need to see any more.
That's why it's the last.
That is probably why it is the last. Yeah, the invite does sound interesting. It has some cast members that I'm going to watch just because of them. Rashida Jones, Seth Rogen, Olivia Wilde. So that's probably the one that I would say I'm most interested for that week, but not anything crazy.
Okay.
Watch a trailer. The trailer is really fascinating.
Well, rolling into July, coming out July 1st, we have Minions and Monsters. It's coming up after the success of the 2024 comedy Despicable Me 4. So they're expanding their joyful animated universe with a riotous new chapter featuring all new characters. And it's supposed to be a huge big hit with lots of popcorn all over the movie theater floors.
Oh, yeah.
So RIP to every worker. Give them a tip. Coming out July 3rd. So these are our holiday movies, right? Young Washington. Before he was the father of a nation, he was a soldier fighting to survive. A single misstep thrusts young George Washington into the center of a global conflict, testing his honor, loyalty, and courage. As alliances crumble and the frontier erupts into war, he must confront not only his enemies, but the man he's becoming. This is the untold story of young Washington with Ben Kingsley and Mary Lou Parker. Louise Parker.
That's the second one for Ben Kingsley for the summer, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to let you know, this is when I catch up on the movies I didn't see June 26. So
this is when you have time to do that. Yep. Not only time, but also everybody and their children are going to be watching Minions, so you'll have empty theaters.
For a great summer schedule across the board, this is the weakest weekend, and I find that
so weak.
So interesting. I'm wondering if something's going to jump in there. Because I think they're going to move some...
It is 4th of July.
These releases are subject to change, right? They might move some stuff, and I think you're going to get people moving. But yeah, well, that's true. I mean, a lot of the movies in June 26th are going to play into July 4th. So there you go.
Yes.
Yeah, there's that.
Yep.
But I mean, I don't know why they're saying Minions is like off of Despicable Me. Despicable Me 4 was not good.
No.
It was not
good. That was
good.
In their description, not mine.
Minions. Minions I wouldn't is hype playing it up. Off of Minions. Because Minions by itself, the Minions movie was great. I love the Minions movie. I thought that was very clever.
You know what I've never seen all of? Any of these movies.
Oh, wow.
Come on, Despicable Me 1 is so good.
Never seen the whole movie.
You know what movie I know you've seen all of?
My God. I'm so excited.
July 10th, we have a return into the Evil Dead world with Evil Ted Burn.
Yay.
That's Erin actually clapping.
So groovy.
After the loss of her husband, a woman seeks solace with her in-laws in their secluded family home. As one by one, they are transformed into deadites, turning the gathering into a family reunion from hell. She comes to discover that the vows she took in life live on even in death. Starring, and I apologize for the butchery of these names, Suhila Jacob from Dune Part 2, Hunter Duan from Wednesday, Lucian Buchanan from The Night Agent, and Tandy Wright from Pearl. Good news to everyone listening. Sam Raimi is a producer.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Robert Tapert's Ghost House Pictures that will be following Fede Alvarez's 2013 remake. And the Evil Dead Rise from Lee Cronin. Cronin is also an executive producer alongside, most importantly, our final boy, Bruce Campbell. And period. End of sentence.
Exactly. You can finish the releases before I speak to anything.
Okay. I didn't know if we should just dedicate a section to this.
I mean, everybody that's ever listened to an episode before knows that I'm already in the theater and I don't give a shit about anything else coming out that day. I will be there for Evil Dead Burn and I might see it twice.
I don't think anybody's really curious about this stuff that's coming out the rest of the weekend anyway.
Oof,
nobody's going to care about Moana, the live action.
Give me a break, Troy. That's going to be massive.
The adaptation of the beloved Oscar-nominated animated adventure.
Doesn't matter.
It's too soon.
Moana, who is played by Catherine Lagaai.
Lagaai. I don't.
Answers the ocean's call and for the first time voyages beyond the reef of her island. With the infamous demigod Maui, played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson, on an unforgettable journey to restore prosperity to her people. Everybody has seen Moana. If you haven't, I am sorry for you. If you have, you've already seen the movie. Why do you need it live action?
And you saw it like a year ago. I mean, it hasn't even been that long since the sequel came out. It's so weird, the timing of this, man. It just, the only thing I can say, Troy, before you go on your tangent, if you hang on, let me finish, is that Moana 2 was originally supposed to be a straight-to-Disney series that they combined into a movie, and it just became a massive hit. So in my mind, well, then delay this one. I don't know what to tell you, but they went forward with it anyway. And Amanda, you've got one more before we actually go into our tangents.
Well, you already did that, but Gail Daughtry in the Celebrity Sex Pass is described as an off-the-rails odyssey through modern-day Hollywood. It stars John Hamm and Zoe Dutch. What does that even mean? What
don't
kind
know.
Of description is this? I don't think I'm that curious because it doesn't matter because Evil Dead Burn comes out July 10th.
Well, I want to hear what Troy has to say about Moana. He was trying to talk and I cut him off.
I feel like I've seen like parts of the trailer for Moana that feels like they combined both movies.
No, it's the first
movie. Or I'm just not remembering the first movie all that well.
You're not.
I didn't think I didn't feel like the little coconut people showed up until the second movie.
I can't remember that part. I'm pretty sure they were in the first movie. But here's all I have to say about the trailer. It's not great. Dwayne Johnson looks stupid. The wig is stupid. It's so distracting. Absolutely so distracting. I would rather it was Jack Black in the wig. It's just terrible. It doesn't look like Maui. It looks like a big ass rock. That's what it looks like. And I am never going to get past that. I'm going to try because I think Moana is a great film. And I do love the Ocean Blue. I love You're Welcome. You know, I love a lot of the songs and whatnot. It's a very sweet movie, and I think it's a very lovely film that I'll definitely take my niece to because I know she really wants to see it. That said, that wig that The Rock is wearing is haunting, and it's scarier than anything that will be in Evil Dead Burn.
Well, it's going to be scary is how bad they mess up the crab in CGI, because if they ruin it's too shiny, I'm out.
They won't ruin that. Now, when it comes to Evil Dead Burn, I love that they're taking chances with this. They're putting different directors behind the seat to kind of show their vision of what Evil Dead would be. The only thing I will say, right now there's a teaser out that you can watch of it, and it's a really cool one-shot. Like, they're doing a one-shot Evil Dead, and it's kind of awesome. It's like a girl crawling through a room as different people are being mauled, and it's fascinating. I love how they're doing it. It's something that I'm really excited about because they're doing something creatively unique. I just miss a little bit of the humor. I didn't see any humor in that clip, and maybe there's more coming. That's the one thing that I thought it was really great that Evil Dead Rise brought back into the franchise, because the Evil Dead remake did not have any humor. And I miss it from Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness. We don't need to go full camp, but I want some humor in my Evil Dead movie.
That's fair. Well, going into July 17th, we have only two, Cut Off, which follows two rich siblings who are cut off from their parents. So, wham. But it has Kristen Wiig and Jonah Hill, so might be funny.
It should be funny.
The Odyssey, a mythic action epic that follows Odysseus's journey home after the Trojan War. It has Matt Damon, directed by Christopher Nolan. It has Anne Hathaway, Robert Pattinson, Tom Holland, Charlize Theron, Zendaya, Lupita Nyong'o. What?
That's every Christopher Nolan score. So I hope you heard all those lovely actors.
You didn't, because all you can hear is the bass.
Do that again, Aaron. Because that's going to be like, as that's going on in the background, you're going to hear this other part. Aaron's going to do the first part. Go ahead.
What?
That's everybody. That's them rolling the boat.
What are you doing?
That's them all rowing the boat. They're rowing the boat, getting back to shore.
We just got banned on like four platforms. Thanks for that. Now you got an ID check or something.
There you go.
This feels like a no-brainer, Amanda. I mean, there's two movies.
Well, maybe you're not interested in either, okay?
It's Christopher Nolan. Do you want to laugh, or do you want to cry a lot? I mean,
it's Christopher Nolan, a fantastic cast. This is the kind of movie you go to a movie theater for. Like, if you're one of those people that want to wait for an experience, that's the one you go for.
Especially if they can get it in 70mm or traditional IMAX. Oh,
yeah, I mean, this is definitely an IMAX or like experience, right? Or Dolby Digital for you. Like, it has to be the best theater experience you can find.
4D. D-box that stuff. D-box. Let's go.
Amanda, do you care about, because you don't really care about these kinds of epics, but it's more mythology than it is historical epic. I mean, it's based on.
So I'm Homer's not as much interested in Odysseus's journey as I am Christopher Nolan directing a movie with a loaded cast who will make anything interesting.
This is the second time him and Pattinson have been together.
And Zendaya's with all her boys. I mean, all it's missing is Chalamet. She got Robert Pattinson. She got Tom Holland. Yeah.
Yeah.
What I do want to know is Matt Damon is a star of this. And I know he got jacked for the role. And one thing that I find fascinating is that he's not who I would picture. And I think that's probably for the better. He's such a phenomenal actor. I think whatever Nolan has in his mind, I think Matt Damon is going to deliver.
I agree. Because I think Matt Damon can reach.
Yes.
And I think this is more about the feeling and the worry and the stress and the strife of the journey than the physicality of it all.
All right. Well, moving through July, on the 24th, we have The Dink. Washed up former tenant. I had to say that. I had to look at that again because I was like, is this my last name? And then I saw it was a D as in dog, not an S. We have The Dink. Washed up former tennis prodigy Dusty Boyd, played by Jake Johnson, has been reduced to coaching unruly children at his father Chuck's suburban country club. Chuck is played by Ed Harris, so this already sounds like it's going to be a riot. Desperate for his father's approval, Dusty blindly supports Chuck's vendetta against the new craze taking over the club, pickleball. But when Dusty reaggravates an old injury, taking away his ability to play tennis, he resorts to the unthinkable in the name of rehab. He not only tries pickleball, but thanks in part to his enchanting new partner, Candace, played by Mary Steenburgen, he finds himself actually enjoying it. More things happen. He's desperate for his father's affection, his identity. Sounds like this one's going to be a little emotional at times.
You can finish out the month because that description, they don't deserve a whole
don't
lot
care.
Of conversation.
July 30th, we have Tin Soldier coming to Hulu. The Bokushi, played by James Fox.
James Fox?
Dude, I don't know. I'm so tired.
Jamie Fox, the Oscar winner.
Jamie Fox. Oh, that's so funny. The Bokushi, played by Jamie Fox, leads a group of veterans.
The S is silent. Sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
What's silent?
I said the S is silent. James, because you said James, the James Fox. Never mind.
Oh, my God. Leads a group of veterans with promises of protection and builds a secure fortress while amassing a large arsenal with his military-trained followers. After several failed infiltration attempts, the government recruits ex-Special Forces member Nash Kavanaugh, played by Scott Eastwood, is back doing more. Okay. A former disciple of the Bokushi and military operative Emmanuel Ashburn, played by Robert De Niro, to use Nash's insider knowledge to seek revenge and recover what he lost, including the love of his life.
Sounds
Don't
like
care.
A modern Django Unchained.
July 31st, I want your sex.
What?
Artist Erica Tracy taps a young protege as a sexual muse. This has Charlie XCX, Olivia Wilde, Mason Gooding, Margaret Cho, and Johnny Knoxville.
XCX, man, she has been in a ton of movies this year. There's like eight, if you like, already.
Enough that her name is being recognized in different arenas.
I'm only going if George Michael's song plays in the background.
It better. If they can get the
rest. It'd be a miss if it doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't think that you guys are going to be seeing that because I think you might be trying to watch Spider-Man Brand New Day.
You're wrong. I'm going to be in I Want Your Sex.
With Spider-Man.
4 years have passed. Ew.
Hey, Peter.
Gross. Don't do the spider web noise. Ew.
Flip. Go ahead.
4 years have passed since the events of No Way Home, and Peter is now an adult living entirely alone with his box of Kleenex. I'm just kidding.
Whoa!
Having voluntarily erased himself from the lives and memories of those he loves.
I snorted. Sorry.
He's crime fighting in a New York that no longer knows his name, but he does. He's devoted himself entirely to protecting his city, a full-time Spider-Man, if you will. But as the demands on him intensify, the pressure sparks a surprising physical evolution. Oh my God, this is so sexual. That threatens his existence, even as a strange new pattern of crimes gives rise to one of the most powerful threats he has ever faced. Tom Holland, Mark Ruffalo, Zendaya, John Bernthal, directed by Destin Daniel Cretton.
Who did Shang-Chi? That's a wonderful read of that
Thank
description,
you.
By the way. Well done.
So sexual, though.
Yeah, it is. And I do wonder, you know, in No Way Home, he basically cast a spell that made everybody forget him. So how does he remember himself? I mean, that you made a good point. Shouldn't he have forgotten himself? Shouldn't he have dementia? I don't know.
No, because he actually, I think it's because he traversed the multiverse. So
sure.
Because of that,
he erased himself from the lives and memories of those he loves.
Okay, fine. Correct me. That's fine. Let's go back
but
to
I
the
do, I do see what you're saying, though, too.
Just very, very interesting. But Punisher's here. Spider-Man, my favorite comic book character. I was very excited at the end of No Way Home that they were finally making Spider-Man be the character that I was familiar with, which meant he actually has to struggle, and he doesn't just get a bunch of fancy rich toys. And I'm looking forward to that. I don't like that Zendaya's back. I was really happy that we were past that arc, and they better have a way to reinvent this and not just be because, well, we love them together. Yeah, Spider-Man can move on. And I just need it to really, really click. But I'll be there. I mean, obviously, that's where I'll be. Right after I Want Your Sex finishes.
Immediately after.
Mm-hmm. Immediately.
Well, I'm seeing Spider-Man, Brand New Day, but who knows? Maybe I will want sex.
Jesus. Maybe.
From Erica Tracy. I actually don't even know who. Is that Charlie XCS? Is this a movie about her? Is her real name Erica Tracy?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay. I'm like, who is Erica Tracy anyway?
That's the description.
The character.
It's a character.
I was like, is this Charlie's real name?
No, you're so weird.
You know how they use fake names?
You're so weird. So we're all seeing Spider-Man. Let's put it
that way. Yeah, obviously. Why is this a question?
It's not a question. That's why if you look at like the last 2 weeks, there's like nothing because everybody knows it's going to be sucked up by the Odyssey and Spider-Man. So they're all just staying away from those dates. They're just staying away.
Yep.
And before we get into August, all right, Primate is coming to Blu-ray, digital, and DVD. And it's about a group of friends whose vacation turns into a terrifying primal tale of horror and survival. Again, it's now out. And I will tell you, this was a really cool surprise when I went and saw it in the theater. I was very, very excited to see Primate. I didn't know what to expect. I mean, it's just a monkey movie. It's just a bunch of monkey business. It's really, like, shockingly brutal and grotesque in all the right ways that you want from a horror movie. So I really recommend it. It's a fun one. Now we're going to move into August. August 7th, Ice Cream Man. This comes from Eli Roth. This one's a little lighter, so we'll get through them a little faster because there's a bunch of titles, but it's a lot. You know how August is in summer. It's a lot of dumping ground. So you got to be a little pickier when you get to August. Ice Cream Man is Eli Roth's movie. Follows an idyllic summer town descending into madness when an ice cream man serves kids sweet delights with horrifying results. It's got shades of Weapons. If you watch the trailer, there's a bunch of kids running around doing terrifying things. And it's Eli Roth. So there's going to be blood and dismemberment. Know that. Then you've got who he directed Thanksgiving, if you don't know who he is. Teenage Sex and Death at Camp Miasa, which is getting a limited release. And it follows a young director enthusiastic about resurrecting the Camp Miasa slasher franchise after years of slapdash sequels and waning fandom. But when she visits the original movie's star, a now reclusive actress shrouded in mystery, the two women fall into a blood-soaked world of desire, fear, and delirium. I'm in it for the title. I just think it's a weird title, and I'm in. Then you have The Third Parent, which is another limited release. It's the, because again, everybody's trying to avoid Spider-Man. They know this is the week after. Spider-Man is going to be huge. The Third Parent takes place on the 4th of July. And of course, it comes out August 7th.
Why are you coming out in August?
August 7th.
How does nobody know how to market around here? Goodness gracious.
It's got Rob Lowe. Nobody's going to see it. A suspicious character named Tommy Taffy.
Don't be mean to Rob. Appears. He has followers.
A suspicious character named Tommy Taffy appears, disguising himself as a human to infiltrate a suburban neighborhood and take control of a family. It's got Rob Lowe, Crispin Glover, and Rosalind Sanchez. I like Crispin Glover. I'll check it out. I don't like Rob Lowe. Fall 2 is a sequel to the hit Vertigo thriller Fall. There you go. Somebody's going to be way up high, and they're going to try not to fall. That's that. And then you've got One Night Only, which is two strangers try to find someone to sleep with on the one night of the year where premarital sex is legal. It's like The Purge, but with sex. I love this concept.
And diseases.
Premarital sex.
Premarital sex, which means it's a society where you have to be married. I love this. It's a cool idea.
It's just two people who are trying to have sex.
On the one night of the year where premarital sex is legal. Yeah. Legal.
This is so weird.
It sounds very dark, very interesting. I'm curious. So it's Callum Tater. Aaron, what is happening to you? Callum Turner and Monica Barbaro. Although Callum Tater, much better name.
Tater Tots with ketchup.
That is a fancy dish right there.
Yum, yum. Super Troopers 3 Winter Soldiers is coming out. The trailer is already out on that one. And I will tell you, I didn't care for the first two movies. I'm not going to care for this one. So if you like Super Troopers, you're going to like it. And you're probably going to be in the theater August 7th. Anything to say about any of these?
Yeah, watch Spider-Man a second time.
I am curious about the One Night Only.
It does sound weird and interesting.
Interesting enough, yeah. You could do a double feature. You could see Spider-Man the week before and then go see One Night Only and I Want Your Sex.
There you go.
Double feature at the drive-in. Come on. That's a great marketing play right there.
I'm in.
They used to play porn, so it's not like it'd be abnormal.
Right?
August 14th, Paw Patrol the Dino Movie.
Aww. Oh boy.
Nobody cares what it's about.
No. I truly wonder if Paw Patrol is going to outdo the Minions movie.
No.
I wonder because Paw Patrol is huge.
It's not that huge. It's not Minions huge.
Amanda, don't pull a Troy. Don't do this.
It's for sure going to be bigger than Toy Story 5.
No.
You don't think so?
No. I don't know, man.
I feel like all these little kids love Paw Patrol. I cannot get my godson away from Paw Patrol.
Yeah, you're also the person that doesn't go to the movie theater to take the godson there. You'll wait for it to come home. So they're going to wait till it comes home to watch this.
Paw Patrol, the Mighty Movie, the last one, grossed $205 million globally.
All right, I take it back.
Minions...
We're not going to talk about it. It's billions.
It is 1.15 billion worldwide in 2015. It's still huge. I'm just saying.
Talk about the financial dollar exchange from 2015 to now. Yeah. That was a lot of money.
I'm sure. Minions.
No, I hear you. Yeah. I just thought Paw Patrol was bigger.
The only chance Paw Patrol has to be bigger than Minions is if Minions has another. If Paw Patrol has a Minions movie after it. That's the only way that it's going to compete.
It just, Minions feels so
done,
repetitive. Been
there? Yeah, I agree with you.
Been there, done that.
No.
And I've never been there, nor done that.
And Minions will still be playing at this point in time.
Okay, will. What else is coming out other than Paw Patrol?
Okay, The Brink of War, which has, I think Jeff Daniels is playing Ronald Reagan. President Reagan races against time to salvage a deal with Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev that would dismantle nuclear arsenals or ignite disaster. With pressure mounting on all sides, every word spoken brings the world closer to peace or destruction. Another adventure film in summer. There you go.
But it's Jeff Daniels and J.K. Simmons. Yeah. Like, oh my, that's like acting masterclass.
I'm interested. But again, August 14th, we continue. The End of Oak Street. This is Anne Hathaway. She's got another movie coming out this summer. After a mysterious cosmic event, that's right up your alley, Troy, rips Oak Street from suburbia and transports their neighborhood to someplace unknown, very Twilight Zone. The Platt family soon discovers that their very survival depends on them sticking together as they navigate their now unrecognizable surroundings. Okay. Now this movie, the last one, August 14th, put it on your freaking calendar. Go see it. Was my favorite movie last year. Near almost a 10. It was almost a 10. And you know why? It's because it's so surprising. It's different. It's unique. It's original. Don't freaking tell me that you want better movies in the theater, and you want original content, and you don't want any sequels, and you don't want any remakes, and then you don't go see The Rivals of Amziah King. If you don't go see it, shut up. I don't want to hear about it anymore. You can't tell me how much you support the original content when you don't go see a really original film that comes out and is freaking fantastic. I told you here. Deep in the backwoods of rural Oklahoma, charismatic and musically gifted Amziah King is Matthew McConaughey. Herds a bluegrass band of misfits while overseeing the premier honey-making operation in town. And when his estranged foster daughter unexpectedly returns, Amziah leaps at the possibility to renew connection and create a family business. But the honey game is ruthless, and Amziah's rivals threaten to destroy everything he has built. There is so much more to this movie than what I just described, and it's so surprisingly original and unique. So I can't say it enough, and I think I've already said it enough. I think the Oak Street movie sounds great, and I will definitely check that out. But I am begging you to go see original content. I am begging you to go to a theater and see something like this.
Fine.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Troy?
And you're welcome, Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, yeah. It's the McConaughey. 100%.
Good. He's going to be so happy. He's going to be, if you will, all right, all right, all right.
Oh, my good no? God. No? Move along, sir.
But you gotta admit, Oak Street sounds pretty cool too.
I mean, it's a cool concept. It'll be interesting to see where it goes.
August 21st, speaking of sequels, remakes, Insidious, the 14th chapter, Out of the Further, is coming. And it's
out of the further of my mind.
It's Out of the Further sequels. It's the further sequel from the original. I'm not a big Insidious fan. But anyway, Amelia Eve stars as Gemma, a young mother raising her daughter in the house she grew up on, who discovers she can travel into the further, the realm of lost souls at the heart of the Insidious universe. And when something evil comes after her, Gemma discovers an ability that changes everything. She just doesn't enter the further. She can bring what lives there back to the real world. Oh, shit. You know what's going to happen next, right? Demons are going to come into our world. Then you got Mutiny, which is Jason Statham. Cole Reed witnesses the murder of a billionaire industrialist boss and is framed for the crime. It's not even close to Jason Statham, but I'm going to do it anyway. Now he's a fugitive.
It's more like the Godfather.
And he must uncover an international conspiracy to clear his name. He's going to beat the shit out of everybody he finds along the way. That's the Jason Statham movie. And I'll be there. I guarantee you I'll be there. Opening weekend. And then you got Spa Weekend, which Spa Weekend follows three best friends that anybody could have, Jane, Coco, and Sophie, as they embark on some much-needed pampering during a luxury spa break in Palm Springs. But when their train wreck friend, Mel, turns up, the relaxation quickly descends into chaos with hilarious consequences. Anna Faris, Leslie Mann, Isla Fisher. That's okay. A pretty good cast.
Okay, I'm in. I'm going Spa Weekend.
You know when Jason Statham?
I'm going to go Spa Weekend. I'll take some laughs.
It'd be Bridesmaids level. You never know.
I think Jason Statham's going to go see Spa Weekend. Wouldn't that be funny?
Could you picture it?
If he's just like on Instagram, this weekend I didn't see my own movie. I went and saw Spa Weekend. It was great. I loved it. I had a great time.
Why does he sound like Donald Trump now?
It's the best movie. It's the greatest movie you're ever going to see. It's Spa Weekend.
They're going to use that in their marketing.
You could. Oh, August box office. Isn't it fun? And then you got August 28th. There's a lot coming out. And this is Labor Day weekend. So, you know.
It's the weekend we've all been waiting for so long.
The end of this podcast?
No. Yeah. The end of the Coyote versus Acme saga. Oh,
that's true. All right. So here we go. We got a bunch. So I'm going to get through them. Then we'll talk about them. Cliffhanger. Which is a remake, yes it is, but it's a completely different take on it. A former mountaineer runs a luxury chalet with his daughter in the Dolomites, but their lives are turned upside down when kidnappers attack. His other daughter, who escapes, must face her fears to rescue her family. And it stars Lily James and Pierce Brosnan. So
Okay.
Yeah, right? I'm here. I'm listening to you. I'm in. Then you've got Idiots, formerly called Shitheads. They retitled it because nobody was going to put Shitheads in the theater. So it's Idiots, two unqualified bozos, Dave Franco and O'Shea Jackson Jr., are hired to transfer a rich teen, Mason Thames, to rehab when a straightforward gig quickly spirals into dangerous mayhem. This is also at South by as Shitheads, and I heard it was actually pretty funny. I think Dave Franco was a pretty funny dude.
He's good.
Then you got Coyote versus Acme, which, yes, finally got a theatrical release. Good. This Woo! Movie better not suck, Will Forte. Because a lot of people begged for this. So the story of a down-on-his-luck attorney is Will Forte takes on Wile E. Coyote as his client in a lawsuit, and only to discover that his boss, John Cena, at his former law firm, is representing Acme. Oh, my God. How will we know? We'll never see him in the courtroom. Anybody? Get it? Anybody? No. Oh, well. Finding Emily. People listening get it.
You're alone. Yeah, you're just alone.
He's invisible. Anyway, Finding Emily. When a lovesick musician is given the wrong number for his dream girl, it's not funny if I got to explain it, he teams up with a driven psychology student to find her. Together, they spark a hilarious campus-wide frenzy that tests their own hearts and ambitions along the way. I have a feeling that'll be a very limited release that no one will ever see.
Feels like an overnight delivery mixed with, what's the other one? Serendipity?
Kind of. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
And lastly, of the summer, The Dog Stars. This is a Ridley Scott movie, by the way. He directed this.
Whoa.
Yeah, and it's getting the Labor Day treatment. You know what I'm saying? So not the... Anyway, set years after a super flu virus is taking most of mankind off the map, a man lives in the hangar of an abandoned airport with his dog. He spends his days flying the perimeter in his Cessna, looking out for intruders and thinking about the things he's lost. His wife and the nearly extinct trout he loved to fish. It's a weird plot description. When a distant radio transmission sparks in him the realization that something better might be out there, the man sets out and discovers the things that are both better and worse out in the ether. It stars Margaret Qualley, Jacob Elordi, Guy Pearce, Benedict Wong, and Josh Brolin. And I believe Jacob Elordi is the guy. So
what's the deal with the title? Is it because like dog fighting, like he was like an old airplane?
You know, here's what you could do is go see the movie and find out. Or you could probably watch the trailer, find out.
I don't know.
I feel like people pay for that answer.
Yeah. I think that's what that's about.
I don't know, though.
And he's in the hangar of an airport with his dog. See?
But it's plural. Dog
exactly.
Stars. The stars.
Maybe that's what you're supposed to go see the movie to figure out, Troy. Wink, wink, nod, nod.
Oh, the super flu has wiped out humans and dogs have taken over. I get it now.
I haven't seen a great Ridley Scott movie. Well, The Last Duel. Okay. The Last Duel is the great.
Last Duel was great.
Yeah, that was a great movie. He's not cranking out bangers anymore like he used to. That's all I'm saying. I did not like Gladiator 2. There's several that he's done in recent years. I was not a fan. Alien Covenant. Anyone? No. Ugh. You don't. No.
No. Better We're good Prometheus. On that.
So anything in this big wide plethora of releases? I mean, I got to tell you, I think I'm most interested in Cliffhanger.
I was going to say Cliffhanger sounds really interesting. You know, I love a good leading lady.
Yeah.
And it's the other daughter who has to come and rescue the family. Idiots does sound fun, mostly because of the cast. I feel like Dave Franco and O'Shea are pretty funny, and I think they could bounce off each other really well.
Mm-hmm.
Don't really care about Will Forte's movie and John Cena.
Don't like Will Forte.
Sorry to say.
Not funny.
Finding Emily, though, could be interesting.
Hmm.
We'll see. But mostly Cliffhanger and Idiots for me.
Troy, you brought up Caillou versus Acme.
I mean, I feel like we got to support it because it had such a tumultuous saga journey. Like, as a film person, it's like, I feel like an obligation to just, you know, I went and saw it and it was terrible.
I just don't like Will Forte, but you're right. As a supporter of cinema, Ketchup Entertainment, thanks for saving it. They basically bought the rights so they can release it. Now go get Batgirl. I still want to see Batgirl just to see what Brendan Fraser is doing in there.
Agree.
But, you know, they say they destroyed it. I don't believe them. I don't believe it.
The Doc Star sounds interesting, though. But yeah, Cliffhanger for sure.
I got to say, I just don't get excited when it's a Ridley Scott movie anymore. I wish I did. And also dropping it on Labor Day, Ridley Scott, who's got name recognition. It's either very artistic or, and you know, something completely different, or it's just not good. But good cast. But I'm not a Jacob Elordi fan. Every time I see his name now, I just go,
We should move it to 4th of July.
We should call him Fetch and be done with it. He's this year's Fetch. Stop trying to make him happen. I used to do that with Miles Teller.
And then when you got to explain the joke, it's not funny.
Yeah, fuck. Oh, okay.
Everybody knows that joke.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you, Amanda.
Everybody.
All right. Well, I do want to say, let's go ahead and wrap. What do you think overall? Is there anything about this summer's movies that really kind of stood out for you?
Yeah, I think it's off to a banger start out of the gate. Like, there's just so much going into the 4th of July weekend, and then you just sit and wait for Spider-Man. So you got lots of time to catch up before Spider-Man comes out.
I am looking forward to a lot. I would say there are going to be patches of the summer where it's a little bit light and you can tap into your streaming content. But otherwise, theaters are going to be very busy this summer. And I like that there's a lot of variation. Everybody has some type of genre that they're drawn to. It's not all remakes and sequels. We're getting to a good spot with the mix in the types of film we're getting. Indies, blockbuster.
Any predictions for biggest hit, biggest flop?
Well, apparently Paw Patrol is going to have a flop. So learned that today.
It's
Mandalorian's probably going to do great.
I think so.
It's got Grogu.
I wonder if the Odyssey is going to deliver box office. I know the first weekend will be loaded. Yeah. Christopher Nolan spectacle. I just don't know if
a lot of people
want to see that story.
I don't know that it's going to.
Yeah, I don't think it's like Interstellar, Inception level draw.
But neither was Oppenheimer, you know, made a billion.
But people like know the story. They live through it or they've been, you know, scared by it.
Sure.
You know?
I guess I could see that.
Like, I mean, who's really picked up Homer's Odyssey and was like, let's read this for fun?
I do know a couple of people.
I think Supergirl might flop.
I think it will too. I don't like the trailer at all. Probably. I think the trailer is very disheveled and haphazardly put together.
You know what's funny is the first trailer I loved. Second trailer, I loved Lobo. And that's it.
And he kind of gives away everything.
But I will say Craig Gillespie is a good director. I mean, I'm going to give it a chance. I want to see it way more than Jackass. But, you know, it'd be interesting. I do think it's too soon for another super something movie.
Yeah, I thought like this new DC stuff would be like a 2-year cycle, like let it breathe a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, too soon. Too soon. I think biggest flop though is going to be Death of Robin Hood. I don't think anyone's going to see it. I don't think anyone. If you look back at all the Robin Hood movies and properties that have come out in the last like 30 years, the only one I can remember that was actually a hit was Prince of Thieves with Kevin Costner. And that's because of Alan Rickman. I don't care what you think.
Did that movie have a subtitle? I don't remember.
Yeah, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Yep.
Wow.
And a great song. Because everything I do it for you.
It was good. I like that movie.
You remember when they had soundtrack songs? That's what I miss. Oh, I don't have them anymore.
Wild Robot had a soundtrack song.
Yeah. Well, the fact that you have to mention the Wild Robot had a soundtrack, I think that proves my point more than you realize.
I'm just saying there's recent movies that have soundtracks on.
I'm just saying. Not many that are memorable. All right. I think the summer looks great. I'm very excited. Man, that's a lot of movies. And I know you're probably overwhelmed. But hey, you can always go to the post and you can see the descriptions there. But I want to say thanks, you guys, for going through these with me. We are going to be off next week. So enjoy this April movie preview. Listen to it again. Or watch it. You can't watch it, but you could.
You can read the description. You can do that.
There you go. You can read
imagine it in your dreams.
That'd be weird. Don't imagine Troy in your dreams.
Do you have your most anticipated this whole list? What's most anticipated?
Most anticipated of the whole list? I pick one?
Yeah, if you just one. No honorable mentions. What do you like?
Punisher.
Okay.
One?
Yes, just like Highlander, which will probably be out next summer.
I guess it's going to have to be Disclosure Day.
Wow. Mm. Okay.
What's yours, Aaron? You can't choose something you already saw.
Oh, that's...
Fine. Choose one that you already saw and then the other one of what you didn't see.
No, I'll play by your rules because that's fair. That's fair. I've seen it. I honestly think it's going to be The Furious. Mm-hmm. I was so shocked by the trailer. The trailer is one of the best action trailers I've seen in a long time. There is a fight scene in there that I just cannot wait to see in a big screen where he basically is in a ring and he is doing building blocks with people's bodies as he kicks their ass. And it's amazing. It's like doing Jenga with bodies. I love it. It brought back shades of the best of John Wick. And I'm like, what with Asian cinema? And I'm in. I'm just so in. It looks phenomenal. There, I picked one.
Good call. Good call. But then also go see the King of... What is it? The
God, you can't even remember.
I can't. It's such a long Amzia something and then Obsession.
Okay. Well, Obsession's easier to remember, but it's The Rivals of Amziah King on August 14th.
Rivals of Amziah.
Yeah, King. Write it down. It's in the
Matthew
post.
Matthew McConaughey.
Obsession should be easier to remember. Just remember Obsession. I'll remind you of the other one later. How's that?
Deal.
Deal. Deal.
Goodbye, everyone.
Lost my voice. Thank you. Remember the next time you head to a theater, not even stream this time, just go to the theater. Go, go, go. Buy popcorn.